thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shaw.
How many of y'all have been frustrated with your GPS? I talk to mine all the time. I get angry with mine. I'm like, what are you thinking? Why are you taking me this way? And I use a southern expression, which is something like, you took me around my elbow to get to my thumb. I have no idea what that means, but I use it. But there's another kind of GPS, and it's not global positioning. It's God's positioning system. And unlike the one on our phones or in our cars and trucks, this one also reroutes our lives, but it never makes a mistake. And when it reroutes our lives and when it redirects our lives, it's always for the best. It takes us down paths where you wonder, what is God doing? Why did He allow this to come into my life? I really didn't need this. And then when you go past and you realize there's a reason why He closed certain doors. There's a reason why He forbids you to go certain directions, because He was taking you to a better place. He was taking you to a new place. So this morning, we begin our series through the book of Philippians. The series is called Grateful. And today is the first message in this series. It's called Redirected. But we're not going to begin in Philippians. We're actually going to begin in Acts, the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to learn how Paul came to Philippi. Because if we don't understand the circumstances, it's going to be difficult for us to understand why Paul loved the Philippians so much. So Acts chapter 16, let's all stand for the reading of God's word, starting in verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. Again, what happens is the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. They're going west the whole time as the Holy Spirit keeps closing doors. To the east, to the north, they're headed towards the west. There's a vision. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after Paul had seen the vision, immediately we, meaning now he has companions with him, there are three other people, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and a man by the name of Luke. He'll write a gospel in the book of Acts very soon. All four of them sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul was a man led by the Holy Spirit. Paul's life was directed by the Holy Spirit. As doors began to slam on him, he knew that it was the Holy Spirit of God. Can I ask you this morning, what have you concluded at the close of 2017? You know, some people conclude that, I don't know what God is up to. I don't know why He allows certain things to come into my life. I wish things were much simpler and better. I wish He would not let me go through all the mess that I've had to go through. What have you concluded? Have you become bitter towards God? Have you become discouraged? Or have you concluded that God is in control of your life and He is the one who is redirecting your life for a reason? The passage we just read, Acts chapter 16, gets misinterpreted and misapplied a lot. Any little obstacle is considered to be the hand of the Holy Spirit. Any odd dream is taken as a vision from God. People come to me and they will tell me, "I had a dream and this is what happened in my dream. Do you think God is calling me to quit my job?" And I tell them, "Please don't." And they may know Acts chapter 16 or they may not know Acts chapter 16, but sometimes we believe that these things are happening for a reason. And we make the conclusion, we draw the conclusion that it's got to be God. It's God who is making these things happen. Now listen very carefully to me. There are things that happened in Paul's life before he could get to the point in Acts 16 where he concluded that this is God. There are things that happened in Paul's life where God strengthened him and took him deep into his word and taught him how to walk by the Spirit, taught him what it means to live by the Spirit of life, taught him that he is crucified with Christ. He no longer lives, but Christ lives in him. These are things that God taught him before he got to the point where he could say, I think this is God. A closed door, folks, may just be a closed door. A dream may just be a dream. Sometimes people ask me, I think God is calling me to leave my husband. I'm like, really, why? Because I had a dream. I said, really? And just because of the dream, you want to leave your husband? Yeah, I think this dream is from God. I usually ask them, I said, what did you eat last night? We need to be careful. Unless certain requirements are met, unless certain prerequisites have happened, you cannot go on to Acts 16. In fact, to understand Acts 16, you have to go back to Acts chapter 15. You have to begin here to understand the work that God did in Paul's life and how he changed him and forged him and taught him how to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. And then he could do what he did in Acts chapter 16. So, let's go to Acts 15 for a moment. What happened in Paul's life? Well, to do that, we begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 15 where it says, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, who were these men from Judea? And why were they insisting that Gentile believers have to follow the law of circumcision like the Jewish people in order to be saved? To understand that, we can look at Galatians chapter 2. Paul gives us more information about these people. Who were these certain men? These certain men were from the mother church in Jerusalem. You know, the mother church in Jerusalem was primarily made up of Jewish believers. And they were primarily focused on reaching other Jewish people with the gospel. Something happened in Acts chapter 10. Peter had a vision. Remember that vision in Joppa? Where a sheet came down from the heavens with clean and unclean animals. And a voice was heard in his dream, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. And Peter says, God, I can't do that. Those are unclean animals. You have told me in your word not to do that. And it happens three times, and then God says to Peter, Peter, what I have called clean, don't call unclean. Meaning, the door is now open even to the unclean Gentiles. And next thing you know, Peter is preaching to a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius and his family, and they receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. At that instant, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. It's amazing. Gentiles also have the Holy Spirit when they receive Jesus Christ. At first, the Jerusalem church is a little reluctant. They're going, I thought it was only meant for us. And after Peter explains to them, listen carefully, informally, they accepted and approved Gentiles coming into the church. As more and more Gentiles started getting saved, some of the Jewish believers in the mother church became concerned. They became concerned that these new converts were going to weaken the moral standards of their community. I mean, just think about it. There's a Greek person. There's a Roman, there's a Babylonian, there's an Egyptian. They're not Jewish, and yet they believe Jesus Christ. If you were Jewish, you're going by the Ten Commandments, you're going by the laws and the ceremonies, you know what is right and wrong, and now you receive Jesus as your Savior, you still have a moral standard. But these Gentiles, they don't know anything, and they are coming into the church, so they became concerned, and so they took upon themselves to go from church to church, Gentile churches, and telling them that they're not saved. I mean, imagine them traveling across Asia Minor and going to Gentile believing churches and saying, So, tell us how you got saved. Oh, we got saved because, Paul came to us with the gospel. Oh, we got saved because Barnabas shared the gospel with us. Oh, really? What happened? Tell us. Well, we believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and He is the one to come, and He came through you people, but He is the light of the world. True, true, but you do know that you're not really saved. To be really saved, you got to be circumcised. Now imagine the confusion and the division this brought in the early church. You go to church to worship God, amen? What if you came here every Sunday morning and there's a controversy? There is so much confusion and division that begins to come. People are questioning each other's salvation. And I can just imagine some of them saying, by the way, just, I got to put it out there, even your preacher is not saved. Are we even a church? Listen to verse 2, Acts chapter 15. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, he was angry. He was mad. He said, how dare you come here and try to undo what we have done and what God is doing in the lives of these Gentiles? How dare you come? And you can imagine the spit is flying everywhere. You can imagine them arguing and opening the scrolls and saying, let me explain to you what this means. And let me explain to you. Oh, Paul, you don't understand this. Oh, I do understand. Let me show you what Isaiah says and what Jeremiah says and what Malachi says. I mean, there's no small dissension. What happens next? The church in Antioch finally realized this is not getting anywhere. Argument after argument, dispute after dispute, debate after debate. So they sent Paul and Barnabas to the mother church in Jerusalem to settle with the apostles and the elders. You tell us what is right and wrong. So in Acts chapter 15, verse 7, guess what happens? When there had been much dispute, it starts all over again. At this time, I don't know about you, I would be like, you know what, guys? I'm done. Y'all can keep that gospel. Much dispute means they get to Jerusalem and they start arguing again. And Paul is defending the faith and he's explaining the gospel, what it means about the law, the spirit of life. He explains what it means that there's a righteousness apart from the law. Are y'all getting those terms? Because you hear about those things later in Romans and Galatians. In Colossians, what is Paul doing in, what is God doing in Paul's life, folks? He is strengthening him and grounding him in the faith. This controversy is not shaking Paul as much as building him and maturing him. And after hours and hours of arguing and debating, proving and disproving, a lot of harsh words and hurt feelings. So you can imagine a lot of words were said. By the way, sometimes people say things in church to each other that never need to be said. It's easy to hurt feelings. Be careful how you say it. Be spirit controlled. Yeah, you can say it, but you will destroy relationships. Back off. And I can just picture people saying to Paul, you know what? The reason you say what you say is because you're really not one of us. Where were you born, Paul? Not in Jerusalem. Yeah, I was born in Tarsus. That's right. See, if you were really in Jerusalem, you would understand these things. Has anybody ever said that to you? If you're really one of us, you would understand. And I can imagine feelings are being hurt. I can imagine words are being said and harsh words are being shared. And finally, Peter stands up along with James and John and other apostles and elders. And they make a decree. What's the decree? The decree is this. Those Judaizers, those circumcisionists that came from the mother church, they did not come through their direction. They had no authority to interfere with the salvation of the Gentiles. And that salvation is only by grace through faith. And as Paul says in Galatians 2, they gave him and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They said, guys, go out there. You reach the Gentiles, we'll reach the Jewish people, and together we will build the kingdom of God. Now here's the question. Why did God allow all this mess into His church? Why did he allow the Judaizers to go around confusing the people? Why did he allow Paul and Barnabas to go through all these arguments and struggles? Why did he allow this controversy to rock the church? You see, all this was a blessing in disguise. Through these controversies, through this crisis, God was grounding Paul in his word. He was maturing him. He was forging steel, spiritual steel in him. Something that he will need for his ministry in Acts chapter 16. You know, you can look at 2017 and the problems that came into your life as a big mess. Or you can see God's hand guiding you, maturing you, purifying you, grounding you in the faith, helping you to walk by the Holy Spirit, forging steel and resolve into you. Or you can look at it as a big mess. Man, I tell you what, 17, I'm so glad 17 is gone. How many of y'all have said that already? I am so glad 17 is going away. I'm grateful for 17. I praise God for 17 because, listen, because God has taught me things that I did not know in 2016. And God has taken me through those trials, through those difficult times, for a reason, because in 2018, God is going to do something even bigger. You can either look at your past, you can either look at your Acts 15 with regret and discouragement and doubt and bitterness, or you can say, God, I know that all things work together for good. Who said that? Paul in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So even that mess we had to deal with, God, is going to work together for good. You see, before you can go to Acts 16, you have to understand Acts chapter 15. Paul grew in this chapter. Paul became the man he was. God was getting him ready to go to another place where people argued a lot. Who were known for arguments? Who are those philosophers who were known for arguing and arguing and arguing and arguing? Who were they? The Greeks. Paul was being prepared by God to go and reach people who lived their lives arguing. What happens next? Well, controversy is over. The decree is taken to all the Gentile churches. Here it is. It's done. It's over. You are just as much a believer as we are. They're all rejoicing. And then Paul tells Barnabas, okay, Barnabas, let's go back, go through all the churches we planted and encourage them. So, you know, they were discouraged because of all the mess that went on. Let's go back and encourage them. And by golly, just when you think all that mess is behind us, here comes another problem. What's the problem? Paul and Barnabas have a conflict. Have y'all had that? Have y'all ever had the situation where it's one thing when you're fighting somebody on the outside, next thing you know, there's problem inside. There's problem in the family. There's problem in the church family. There's problem in your inner circle at business. And you go, I did not need this. What is the problem? There was a young man by the name of John Mark who went with Paul and Barnabas through their missionary journeys. And this young man, John Mark, had abandoned them at a time when they needed him the most. Guess what Barnabas does? Barnabas says, Paul, you got to give John Mark another chance. Paul says, no, he had his chance. He needs to grow up. Who is right? Paul is right. That young man had to grow up because later on he's going to come and write a gospel. He needs to grow up. Let's find someone else. Barnabas says, no, I'm not. You know, at that moment, I can just imagine it would have been so easy for Paul to get bitter and angry and caustic against Barnabas. Man, how dare you do this to me? We're supposed to be a team. But see, Acts chapter 15 had already prepared Paul. Don't let harsh words and harsh feelings get to you. Keep on going. He said, fine, you know what we're going to do? Barnabas, you take John Mark. I'm going to take Silas, and I'm going to continue my journey. You know, sometimes when it seems like a problem is over, another problem will come into our lives. Seemingly a smaller problem, but it's so easy for us to quit. I have seen people win wars and then lose their faith over little battles. I've seen people win big mountains and then lose their faith over anthills. What happens here with Paul? He said, all right, I'm going to continue. And then it says he came to Derbe and Lystra, where he met a young man named, what's his name? Timothy. Who was Timothy? Timothy was a Jewish believer with a Gentile father and a Jewish mother. His father was Greek. God is doing something. What is God doing in Paul's life? He is bringing somebody with Greek descent into his ministry team. Hint, hint, God is taking him somewhere else. A John Mark had to go. Are y'all still with me? A John Mark had to go for a Timothy to come in. Don't ever get so angry and frustrated when a John Mark leaves. Be expecting a Timothy to come in. Did y'all get that? God's going to work with a John Mark, but open your heart because a Timothy is coming in, because God is now taking Paul and his team towards Greece. Then it begins. As he was traveling through Phrygia and Galatia, the Holy Spirit closed the door to Asia. Asia was to the east. You see, Paul has been walking in the Spirit. Paul has been living by faith. He knows that this is not just any closed door. This is God closing a door. Please listen very carefully to me. Unless your hands are clean, your heart is clean, and you're walking by faith, don't start thinking any little thing that happens is God. It's got nothing to do with God. In many of our decisions, the Holy Spirit is a million miles away. You might even be doing things in the name of God, but that has nothing of God in it. You know what Colossians says? As you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk with Him. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? Repentance and faith. What is repentance? Confessing your sins before God. Telling Him that you have sinned, that you are a sinner, putting your faith in Jesus Christ. So walk with Him, which means this, the rest of your Christian life is pretty much like the first of your Christian life, repentance and faith. How do you walk by the Holy Spirit? Repentance and faith. So listen, if you got sin in your heart that hasn't been confessed, and you're not living by faith, then whatever is happening in your life, stop calling it the hand of God. But Paul is confessed and repented. He knows this is the Holy Spirit. The door is shut. As he came to Mysia, you see, he is going to the west. God is hemming him towards the west. He tried to go into Bithynia, which is to the north. Guess what happens? The Holy Spirit again closed the doors. God is pushing him in a direction, in a whole new direction. Then he came to Troas, and here there was a vision of a Macedonian man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And it finally dawned on Paul that God was telling him, go west, young man. Go west. I did all I did in your life in Acts 15 to prepare you for Acts 16. He said, oh. Yes, Paul. Somebody else is going to handle the east. Someday someone else is going to go to the north. I want you to go to those Greeks, those smart philosophical Greeks, the Greeks to whom you will write your letter to the Philippians, the letter to the Thessalonians, the letter to the Corinthians, and later on you're going to write to the Romans. It's time to go west. Did y'all get it? You see, if Paul was not submitted to the Holy Spirit, it would have been easy for him to confuse any closed door as God's closed door. It would have been very easy for him to get discouraged when there is this obstacle or that obstacle or this falling out and that falling out. It's because he was so grounded in the truth. It's because he was walking by confession and repentance and trust in the Holy Spirit. It's because he was teachable and obedient that he could conclude that this is God directing and redirecting my life. People make all kinds of decisions. They quit jobs. They sell everything and they move. They break relationships. They start relationships. All based on, oh, this happened and this happened. Man, it's so awesome what God is doing. And I never affirm nor deny. I just kind of look at them as like. And please don't affirm and deny if you do not know for sure either. Don't come along, people, and say, I'm so happy for you. I can see God work. Don't do that. Just back off and say, Holy Spirit, if it is you, only time will tell. It's only when you are truly submitted to His leading and guiding that you can tell when it's His hand and not something else. What did Peter say when he was in the boat and Jesus was walking towards him? What did he say? Lord, if it's truly you, bid me come. What have you concluded? Is the Holy Spirit leading your life? Is the Holy Spirit guiding your decisions? Can you see God's hand directing and redirecting you in 2017? Can you see that He is preparing you for 2018 from Acts 15 to Acts 16? Can you see those things? How do you look at the past year? As a waste of time? As a useless time, or do you say, God, I know it wasn't pleasant, but I'm so grateful for even that. I didn't want this problem, but I'm grateful for even that. There's a reason. And I may not see it now, but months down the road, I will see that this problem was for my best. And how do you walk by the Holy Spirit? I hope I have said it enough. Confession, repentance, and faith. Your hands are clean before God. Your heart is clean before God. And you're walking by pure trust and faith.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. God is sovereign over all things, even when our lives seem out of control. God is always redirecting us and putting us where we need to be. If we're obedient to Him, and we trust Him to lead our lives. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.